Well, I missed it. Don't you hate that feeling? I missed it. You were going to go get something that's on sale, something you really wanted, and by the time you get to the store, you find out the sale ended yesterday. I just missed it. Missing a child's first step, first words, or my favorite, sitting in a boat for 4 hours, not catching a thing. Think, well, I'll go home and cut the lawn, get to the boat launch, start winching the boat onto the trailer. Three other guys at the launch say, oh, you should have been here yesterday. I just missed it. Oh! There's all kinds of things that we want to really, really see and experience, and we find out we just missed it. Did you see Jesus was here today? That's what some of Jesus' followers were saying. But here's what's different. They were the same ones who were just talking with him as they walked with him and did not recognize him. Jesus was right there, walking and talking, but they couldn't see him. Now, while this story might sound a little disappointing on the surface, it can also be reassuring in one way because of the things it points to. That the resurrection is so very different from what we know in the here and now that in the next life we may not even be recognizable. Yet funerals, I like to point out that resurrection is not our old, worn-out bodies being brought back to life. Think about that for a second. What a curse that would be. We die because our bodies stop working. I had a funeral yesterday for a fellow who was ravaged by cancer. My grandmother was over 100 when she died. Tell you what, if it's the same old worn-out body brought back to life, I don't want to be in the room. Not with my grandma. Mm-mm. More curse than blessing. No, instead, new life, recreation, is not limited to the limits of what we understand and know and experience. It goes way beyond our ability to get our heads around it. But part of the good news is we don't need to know how it all works for it to work. At one point, Jesus said, unless a grain of seed falls to the ground and dies and is buried, it can't live again. But if it dies, then what grows out of that seed is something so much bigger and full of life, something that doesn't even look like the seed. Now, another way this story is reassuring for us is Jesus keeps showing up. He shows up at least here in the bread and wine. But not just in the bread and wine. Some assembly is required. Now, by assembly, I'm not talking about putting things together, but rather an assembly of people. It's not the bread and wine by itself. Jesus said, eat this bread, drink this cup. He didn't say, look at it. He said, participate. And in this sacrament, Jesus enters us in the most intimate way possible, becoming part of us. People are needed too. Not just in the inanimate objects of the bread and wine, but the bread and wine together with God's promise, God's people. Jesus said, I will be there. Now, it's not magic. It is love and sacrifice. But the truth is, sometimes it may just not feel that special. Sometimes communing might feel like some tired old ritual that we just do because it's what you do in church. Sometimes our hearts and minds might not be in it. Sometimes we're distracted. But then there are other times when we might come with deep feelings of guilt. Or times we might feel like we're so alone it hurts, far from love, far from acceptance or forgiveness. Sometimes it feels like our hearts are crushed and our souls are bleeding. And we need the promise. We need the hope. We need to be loved back to life. We need to know that forgiveness is real. And we need to feel God's promise fill us and become part of us. And it happens here because the old saying is still true, you are what you eat. And when we eat and drink this bread and wine, we become once again the body of Christ. It is not just a little snack. It is God's promise. It is Jesus himself entering us in the most intimate way possible, becoming part of us. This is the real meal, the real deal in a world full of junk food and cheap imitations. I just read an article the other day, I'm sure you saw it too, about hash browns being recalled because they contained, of all things, golf balls. Golf balls in your hash browns. Yeah, that's not going to fill the holes in your souls. That ain't going to love you back to life. But this is the real meal. Not near enough to fill our bellies, but plenty to fill our hearts and souls. Well, sometimes we miss it, but it's always here, always waiting for us to be ready, always waiting to break into our hard hearts when we are ready, when we want it, when we know we need it. In our story today, Jesus' own followers didn't recognize him until he broke the bread. It was in the meal that they saw him and felt him again. Did you hear the punchline in our story? The last words are how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. There it is. It was in the meal when they realized Jesus was with them, and he was right there. And then suddenly he was gone. But there's not disappointment in it because Jesus isn't fully gone. Jesus is with us. He's in us. Jesus is present in the ways you care for one another, when you hug each other, when you hold each other up, when you celebrate each other's joys, when you help carry each other's burdens and pain. If we want to see Jesus, all we need to do is look where he said he would be. So Jesus said, whenever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I'm there. I hear a crowd last week was a little slim, but there was more than two or three of us here. Okay? And guess who else was here? Jesus was here. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. When you feed the hungry, when you care for Jesus' sheep, when you visit the sick, when you care for the dying, when you cry with those who mourn, when you care for the homeless, when you seek justice, when you raise the dead, and you do, when you open your doors for those who need water to do laundry and take a shower, imagine. Imagine being a single parent with a couple of kids and you have no water. And you open your doors to do laundry and take showers. For folks in AA and recovery who come and use your house here, for those who are overwhelmed or scared, those are places to look for Jesus because he said he'd be there. This weekend we had close to 90 kids working in the mini work camp in town, taking care of needs of elderly and disabled in their homes. Jesus is there too, cold as it was. Look for him. He'll be there. Now, if it feels like you missed it when Jesus showed up, don't sweat it. We often feel like Jesus was there after the fact. And if it feels like you're a little preoccupied, overwhelmed, or maybe just whelmed, and we can't see Jesus with you, remember, the guys in our story didn't recognize Jesus either as he was walking and talking with them. So you're in good company. But we don't need to go looking for Jesus. See, Jesus usually doesn't show up in the headlines. Jesus shows up most often in places where people aren't looking. He's with you all the time, walking with you, waiting for you. Whenever believers are gathered, when you love others, when you forgive, when you share your food, when you take the needs of others into account, Jesus is there even if we don't see him in the moment. And Jesus waits. Jesus waits for you to be ready. Because as we know, we're usually not ready until we are ready. And when we are, Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is here. Jesus promises to be here for you always.